Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors, who will give you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan Moylan here. Hello. With Michael Normanson and Moscow White, Daniel Chapman as well. What's that you've got in your hand there, Michael?
A pen. No, not the pen. No, not a pen. It's a square ball shirt.
Oh, look at that. It's beautiful. If you can't see that, that's because you're listening to this on the audio version. Check it out on YouTube, available on both. Look at that. It's been made hand stitched. Well, machine stitched.
By machine, yeah. Obviously. Hand machine's hands.
The machine was hand programmed to stitch it. Yeah. It sounds about
it's
right.
Got number two on the back.
Yep.
That's nice. The number that Bielsa wore while playing for Newell's. Who this shirt does resemble, but this is a square ball shirt,
yes,
very much.
Very much so.
But there you go. It's nice, isn't it?
Beautiful.
But if I wanted one, what am I going to do about that? It's all fine and well showing me it.
It's very easy. You go to thesquareball.net.
Ah, is that because the merch store's back up and running and you can find loads of glorious stuff on there?
Correct.
Excellent.
You could even do it the short way and go to squareball.net/merch.
Yep.
MERCH.
Wow.
But then you'd miss all the fantastic stuff on the blog, Musk.
Yeah, but you go and read that after you've done the shopping.
Yeah, fair enough.
While you wait for it to arrive.
Excellent. Thesquareball.net for all that. The weekly show, then, number 300, I think this might well be. So happy anniversary. Arbitrary numbers and all that.
Mm. I mean, we've done about 4,000 podcasts with all the match balls and other stuff, but. You know,
that's right. You talk down our achievements, Michael.
I'm saying we've done more.
Great. Part one of the show. This is the news headlines. Right, pick the bones from these then. We owe Leipzig 18 million quid, or nearly do. We've been linked with left-backs and strikers. Some good news. Another Red Bull manager's departed the league at Southampton. Bamford's injured again. Victor's shouting again. Kids won again. Women lost. Charlie Creswell has been brutalised. And we know when next season's Premier League is going to be, which we're definitely going to be in.
Do another Football League dates yet?
I didn't check those.
They've not been announced.
No.
We don't need to know.
I don't have any alerts out for that. Don't follow the social accounts. None of that. Where do you want to start?
I suppose probably the £18 million. That's quite bad, isn't it?
Let me guess, you're going to moan at spending money again.
Well, I don't. It's not my money, so.
Well, I mean, some of it is.
Well, a little bit, but, you know, marginal amounts. But it's probably not that surprising, is it? I think it's felt like this was coming. Cast were going to make us fork out for that useless lump.
Yeah, I mean, Phil Hay did a little breakdown of how we've got to this point over on that show. We're so worth a listen. It's the Court for Arbitration for Sport, ruled in favour of Leipzig, the ultimate arbitration body in sport, although there is one more potential body we can go to in Switzerland. Basically, I think the naughty police in Switzerland, I think they're called something like that, for when there have been procedural errors. It's expensive doing it.
And we don't even get to have him.
No.
I mean, it reminds me a bit of the Cameron Stewart thing where we basically pulled the plug on it, taking a bit of a chance because we were like, nah, it's just not worth it. It'd be useless one way or another. And it does seem like his career is not. It doesn't seem like we're missing much, does it? I think is the point. I know he scored a couple of goals recently in Switzerland, but it's a long way off the Premier League, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, COVID fucked him, basically, seems to be the message that long. He, first of all, I think it made it much more difficult for him to come back from that hamstring injury that he had on arrival, because we went into lockdown and I don't think anybody was getting, well, you weren't really allowed to get effective treatment at that point. Training at home didn't do much for his fitness, and then he actually caught it, and then seems to have taken him 2 years to get over the results of that. So that was unhelpful. And then COVID is obviously the reason why the whole contract situation became a problem that ended up at CAS anyway.
So yeah, the CAS panel in charge of the matter has dismissed the appeal filed by Leeds, confirmed the challenge decision in its entirety. Got to pay them the first instalment of the transfer fee, which is 6.7 million euro. Leeds surprised and disappointed by the decision, which not only contradicts the language and meaning of the contract, but also the practices adopted in European football under FIFA regulations due to the unique impact of the extensions to the season necessitated by COVID postponements. Yeah. I mean, their argument was basically, we had to extend like Jackie Harrison's contract, Moscow.
I think he's returned to Jackie in recent weeks, but...
Right.
No, he's still Jackie.
And
he's still ours.
We had to sign Berardi on a new... You know, anybody who wanted to play had to sign a new deal. So I think that was Leeds United's position. But anyway...
Well, Leeds did have a... I mean, RB Leipzig's role in this doesn't seem to get mentioned much, but in the FIFA's ruling, it does have the timeline of what went on. And in there is that the 24th of April, 2020, when we're still... we're about a month into lockdown at that point, and everything is, we don't know when the football season's coming back, if the football season's coming back. Leeds sent an email to Augustin's agent saying three things: that they would like permission from Leipzig to extend the loan in the event that the season goes beyond the 30th of June. And when the reply eventually came, 12th of June, so it took 6 weeks for Leipzig to get back on all this, and Leipzig said, yes, we need to do that. So they agreed that we needed to extend the loan beyond the 30th of June because of the extension of the season. We would also need to extend the deadline for the obligation to purchase the player to take us to the end of the season, whenever that may be. And in Leipzig's reply, they said, yes, we do need to do that, because I don't know why they would say that unless they felt that the contract that we had didn't deal with the extension to the season. So they agreed that we would need to extend the deadline. The third thing was, if possible, we would also like to ask for their consideration in changing the instalments due to the financial impact caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. If you remember, at that time, nobody knew whether the broadcast payments were going to be coming on time, whether we ended up having to pay part of the Premier League broadcast payments back, even though we were in the Championship. So all of that in April 2020 is a valid question to say, we don't know what the cash flow is going to be. So when we pay you for this player needs to be discussed as well. And Leipzig said to that, no, they weren't having that.
Nine.
And Leeds' case is that because they wouldn't talk about changing the instalment plan, they couldn't talk about the rest of it, because the instalments were going to be due, the first instalment was due on the 1st of September, if we'd signed him on the 1st of July. And then the season started on, if I remember rightly, it was like a week later that the Premier League season started, and sort of getting the cash flow and the payments and the confirmation of when we were going to have this 7 million to sign him was something that was going to be difficult. However, by the 12th of June, when we did get the reply, I think by that point we'd seen the state of Jean-Kevin and Augustin coming out of lockdown and decided, let's try not to sign him.
Nine.
No, yeah.
So saying the pre-COVID, the signs weren't good. He basically never managed to get off the running track at Thorpe Arch, did he?
Well, you went to Sheffield because you were so excited to see him play.
I was so disappointed.
Michael, talk us through that.
Yeah, I got there and I was like, oh, he looks, because he looked.
Didn't you pull a sickie at work?
No, I was doing square ball, wasn't I?
Yeah, exactly. You pulled a sickie at work.
Yeah, I went to watch it because I was so excited about it.
You're still at ITV at that point. I forgot the timelines.
But then I got there and, you know, you're trying to think the best of someone and you're watching him move, and then you get the odd touch and you're sort of thinking, oh, shit.
I was exactly the same. You know, the badge, when we had the badge redesign, I wanted to think the best of him at that point. And I thought, okay, I see what they're trying to do. It's got the right colours on it.
There are some good things.
And then within about 5 minutes, I realised just how awful it was. What about Augustin?
Yeah, he basically was really slow for a half and then limped off at half time. And it was...
Well, he went down with a hamstring injury in the first half. And I remember I was watching it from home. And that was... The problems with him were that he hadn't been playing and he didn't have the fitness and he needed to get up to fitness. And then the hamstring was a setback. And then before he was cured of that, we all went into lockdown. So he never got the chance. I can't go back. I keep reading all the sort of anger about this. And I can't go back to January 2020 and pretend anything other than I thought that this was an absolutely brilliant deal. And I would probably actually, if this came up again tomorrow and Leeds did exactly the same, I would say it's a brilliant deal, because the comments from Marcelo Bielsa that summed him up at the time said that this player, with his skills and his ability, he is a 30, 40 million pound player. All he has to do is start playing and showing that. And we did a deal in the second division where we got him on loan for a season, and only if we went up, we would pay £18 million for a £40 million player. And there's a lot of heat at the moment going like, oh, why did we tie ourselves into that obligation? We should dream that we had had that obligation for Ben White. We missed out big style because Brighton wouldn't give us that obligation. Here we were with a potential bargain with the risk of his fitness, but that's every transfer is a risk, and probably the payoff of getting a 30, 40 million pound player for half price that at the time, every scout in Europe said they couldn't believe that Leeds had got him. I've got The Athletic, Augustin's 2017-18 numbers put him among the Europe's elite, and there's a big tactical breakdown of everything that's great about him. Augustin can be a hit for Leeds and Bielsa, the headline on there, and everybody across Europe thought, yeah, that is definitely worth going for, because the way this could have played out is he could have got fit, scored 12 goals, got promoted, and then if we didn't have an obligation to sign him, he signs for Arsenal and everybody wants Victor Orta's head on a stick because we've missed out on our new £50 million value striker.
So what you're saying is give Victor Orta a pay rise and have him shouting more into the phones of fans, yeah?
No, but I think going back to January 2020 and being excited about it, it's kind of, I can't then come back and pretend that I knew all along this was a bad idea. I thought it was a great idea. And it is the kind of deal that clubs in our position try to go for and try to make work. If there's a player out there who is £40 million worth of striker and you can get him for £18 million, and only if we got promoted as well. So we were going to use the promotion cash to pay £18 million. And what does, you know, £18 million is Firpo price and Firpo's rubbish. So it's the opportunity there to get a really good player for a knockdown price. And then who knows how things would have turned out if COVID hadn't happened, if his hamstring hadn't pinged. But what can you do to mitigate against those things?
I suppose the thing would be if we're saying he was potentially a £40 million player, if he was that, why did Leipzig not just want to have him? Because they very clearly wanted to move him out at that stage. And he'd already been to Monaco that season and failed there, hadn't he? So I guess there's a bit of maybe, which is where I guess where due diligence could be a problem on our part, is that if Leipzig have essentially sold as a car when they know the engine's fucked and they're like, oh, just get it through.
But it's by the way, isn't it? The other side to that is the extension of what you just said there is not only why didn't they want him, but why were they trying to get rid of him as well? And if he's only costing £18 million or potentially less, which is what he's gone for since, I mean, they were happy just to wash their hands of it, weren't they? Why is this £40 million player being offloaded for 40, 45% of his value? So there's, and I know, look, we've got the privilege of hindsight now. It's the way that this thing works, isn't it? We all have an opinion on X, Y, and Z in football, and then what actually unfolds often proves you wrong, and then we talk about it with the aid of hindsight.
It's very hard buying footballers.
Yeah.
It's worth saying that in defence of Victor Orta, it's one of the most difficult things to try and judge, because you can, how many signings over the years have you looked at on paper and gone, yeah, they look good on paper. Rodrigo on paper seemed great. Spain's number 9, played in La Liga for, you know, a decade, one of the best strikers there. Prime of his career was 28, 29, wasn't he?
29, yeah.
So you think, perfect, he's going to slot straight in. Absolutely seamless, not going to be an issue here. And then he turned up and everyone was like, oh.
Can't really run much, can he? Hey, listen, the whole Red Bull thing is worth just kind of circling around as well, because they've kind of just been, it feels like they've been in our orbit, we've been in their orbit a wee bit. Obviously, you've got Marsh, Adams, Aronson, and then they were sniffing around, weren't they, when Chelino was in charge. And even David Haig put a can of Red Bull on the table. Which, I mean, goodness me, that was very subtle, wasn't it? Very clever. And Ralphie Rabbit Hutch, Hassan Huttle, has been sacked from Southampton. I mean, who's put this on the sheet? Is it you, Michael? Been coming for several years. Is that how you feel about it?
Well, it just feels like he's been the favourite to be sacked for ages, and I think he's probably been desperate to be sacked in some ways. Be like, just fucking put an end to this. God. He just always seems to win. He'll be right on the verge of being sacked, then they'll win two games in a row, and he'll be like, oh, just let me go on.
Got to put my tartan waistcoat on again for another week.
But I'm kind of pleased in a way that they seem to be getting Nathan Jones, because it seems like quite a risk, and I just want some other teams to go down this season.
Again, we talk about the privilege of hindsight, but you look at that and you think that's a manager who is likely to take them down on balance of probability.
Yeah, I mean, Nathan Jones had if you remember it, at Stoke after they beat Leeds, he put a big photograph of his own celebration in the corridor at Stoke that you used to look at himself and go, oh yeah, aren't I great? That's not a good trait, I don't think. And then he had to go scuttling back to Luton because it all went wrong. And you do get some coach. The big question about Nathan Jones...
Has he been gone too long?
Is whether he can do it anywhere other than Luton.
The Kevin Nichols.
Yeah, you do get some
situation.
I think the thing with Southampton as well is kind of what a weird version of us they kind of represent, because obviously Hasan Hurtl, as you're saying, came out of the Red Bull world, and when you describe sort of our state of play, it also, well, style of play, it describes Southampton's to quite an extent. And if you look at their results this season, they beat Chelsea and then lost to Villa, Everton, Man City quite badly, drew 1-1 with Arsenal, beat Leicester. So they've got that thing of where they play quite well against the strongest teams in the division, but then their peers, so in a row, Wolves, Villa, Everton, and then Palace beat them as well, they all just beat them out of hand. Mm. And that's kind of been their theme for a while, where they're very good against when they're not losing 9-0, they're good against the top teams, but then bad against the ones that they end up around in the division. Their other thing is they have pretty much the lowest, after Arsenal, the lowest average age as a matter of policy, where they've spent on all these young players that they want to bring through, and they believe that they'll grow with them. I think one of the next lowest average age or very close to theirs is Leeds United, because I think we are also, as policy, having as young a squad as we can possibly manage. And the thing with Nathan Jones that I don't really understand as a follow-on to Hasan Hurtl in this is, and I don't really understand with Marsh being with us to an extent, is the thing that we learned with Marcelo Bielsa was the power of an exceptional coach with less than exceptional players. And when you're aim is to kind of bring through a crop of youngsters, educate them, get them up to high Premier League standards and either succeed or sell. I don't know why you would bring in Nathan Jones, who his experience of the world is Luton. You know, you want to, I always remember Ilya Gabriel, our third choice goalkeeper, is now tearing it up in Serie B. We're still talking about, he said, stories that Marcelo Bielsa told them. He said he had a story about a Chilean miner who he'd met. So he said, what struck me about is you knew Bielsa was talking from experience. He knew the person he was talking about and sort of somewhere else. And so part of the power of a coach like that, or when Ancelotti was Everton, or somebody who's
gravitas.
Yes.
Frank Lampard.
Well, again, it's gravitas and experience and knowledge and things that you can, so that when you are talking to a 21-year-old player, you can be like, look, when I was at the World Cup with Batistuta, I told him this, so you need to do that. And you'll go, oh, yeah, yeah. Whereas if it's going, look, when I was at Luton with James Bree, I told him this. You're like, who the fuck is James Bree? So I think...
immediately maybe start thinking of cheese puns.
Bringing it all together as like young players with young coach and they'll all learn together. I think at some point the light bulb may go on with all these teams, ours perhaps included, because I think Marsh maybe suffers from that a little bit, as did Thomas Christiansen, as did Paul Heckingbottom. We think they'll all learn together and it'll be very, very, very collegiate. But also you would like...
it's an unforgiving league, isn't it?
Players would benefit from having coaches who know everything that they're talking about.
And the other thing, like Frank Lampard.
The other thing as well is the coach is probably one of the cheapest items on your wage bill.
Yeah.
And when you talk about, you know, 18 million on Jean-Kevin Augustin, that's... more. I mean, we paid a lot of money to Bielsa and his team, but I think they would pay for 2 years of that. He was on about 8 million a year at one point.
That did cover all of his staff as well, to be clear. That was not just for one man.
Exactly. And that's a big wedge for a coach, but a relatively small wedge out of your overall wage bill. It's like, why don't just invest in the coach and then they'll make all your young players better and then they'll become a lot better. Instead, you get some fucking loser from Luton who's just going to be just putting pictures of himself up everywhere.
Just remembered, long-term listeners, Nathan Jones was the origin of the God Rod.
Yeah.
Wasn't he? Of course he was. I'd forgotten about
the
that.
Blasphemy baton.
Which then became the blasphemy baton, which then became the booze baton, which was then...
I think it was the blasphemy baton originally, and then it became...
Oh, was it God Rod?
Yeah.
I can't remember how it started.
One came forth from the other.
Yeah, that was Stoke beating us, wasn't it?
So. Yeah, maybe we have to resurrect that.
Possibly, yeah. I mean,
we never actually went.
COVID on it.
It's too complex to explain, isn't it? What I was just going to say is...
go back and listen to about 40 hours of podcast and it might make sense.
It was just a cheap a means of going on a piss up somewhere, wasn't it, basically?
And he called... he tried to insult Pablo Hernandez in Spanish, didn't he?
Did he?
Got into a fault, into an argument after a game when he was back at Luton, or before he went to Stoke. I think it was after he'd gone. He said... it's my fault, said Jones. We had a little bit of an argument in his native tongue and I just wanted to show him I could speak Spanish. I probably said something I shouldn't have in Spanish, but I apologise. Nothing malicious or anything, but I wanted to make sure that I spoke to him because it was my fault.
You almost went into Warnock and there were touches of Warnock in your voice. That reminds me, I'm trying to find the tweet from Sid Lowe who tweeted to say that, I found it. So, you know, Gerard Piqué retired from Barcelona, owed quite a lot of money, and he got sent off, for, I think, from the bench, didn't he, actually?
Yeah.
He was red-carded from the bench because Rafinha scored that header to win the game against Osasuna. But Sid Lowe says, Gerard Piqué's last words as a footballer, I shit on your prostitute mother. talking of insulting people in Spanish. Finally, then, in this section, next season's dates, we know them, starts on the 12th of August, finishes on the 18th of May. No World Cup in the middle, as far as I'm aware, this time.
It's really confusing, isn't it? I've completely lost as to where the Euros are in the wrong year, then the World Cup's in the right year, but the wrong end of it. And
Can't you feel the fever? Aren't you excited about the World Cup?
It's all so strange.
It's only next week.
I know.
I think it was somebody on Wacko posted to say that, you know, normally in the run-up to a World Cup, you get like World Cup sponsorships all over stuff, like even if it's like tubes of Pringles or whatever, you know, like, and then the telly's covered with adverts for... Well, people who are sponsoring the tournament, and then everyone makes like tangential. And the people who are not the actual rights holders and sponsors always have football related promotions and stuff on them.
Brewdog have done a thing that seems to have gone down well.
but there's none of that. I've just seen none of it because we're into that kind of long road into Saturday night entertainment, telly, aren't we now, towards Christmas? The kind of I'm a celebrity, Strictly Come Dancing stuff here in the UK, all that kind of proper big autumn TV has kind of taken over everything. And the World Cup's a summer tournament. It's strange. But yeah, 12th of August, we're returning. 18th of May, it'll all pack up, which is actually only a little different to this time. They've squeezed a lot in, including our Carabao Cup tie. So this will come out on Thursday after the Carabao tie against Wolves, which is slightly confusing.
We're marching onto Europe.
So well done. Here we go. Wembley. Europe.
Wembley.
Or?
Wembley.
Out
March out.
Bloody Junior Firpo. He can't even play in the Cup.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And right now, we're going to preview Spurs, the final one before the World Cup, 3 o'clock on a Saturday again.
Amazing stuff. Traditional final game of the year in November.
Yeah.
Good that these things are all being upheld.
We will be back before the end of the year.
That's true. Yeah.
The Man City game is the 28th, and then Newcastle is New Year's Eve.
It was weird saying have a good Christmas to people as we left the ground on the weekend. Being like, yeah, I'll see you on the other side, I suppose. It's worse than the shops for getting those things in early. Spurs aren't very good, I don't think, are they? Should we just beat them?
Yep.
And then have a nice happy time?
I don't even have to say Leeds have got one of these results in us. I think we've genuinely got a sniff here. I mean, equally, as we don't know what the parameters for the season are at all, as we were discussing in the last few shows, the ceiling's quite high, the basement is quite low. Where we will fall on this one, I don't know. That was a good poem, wasn't it? But we've got the potential to cause them some upset, particularly because it seems like they like to tippy-tap around and do quite slow build-up, and we run around like headless chickens and chase the ball and kick it and things.
Well, they just don't seem to do first halves, is what I've taken from their games. I did actually watch them against Liverpool on the weekend. Second half, they were all over Liverpool and probably were just about good value for a draw, I would have said. But first half, they were crap. I didn't watch it, but I saw the Marseille stats, and I don't think Spurs had a single touch in the Marseille box in the first half.
Right.
So they just don't seem to bother with those. So if we can just get a few goals in then.
They just seem like they can't be bothered in general. I've had this feeling with Spurs, ever since they got to the Champions League final, it all just seems like too much effort for them. Because they've got, you know, Hugo Lloris is a good goalkeeper, Harry Kane is the England centre forward. You look through the team and you think, yeah, some loads of good players and they've got a good manager. But when then they go out on the pitch and I was like, oh, do we have to? They just don't seem like they could be bothered winning.
Is the word laboured? It's all very laboured, isn't
it? Yeah, it's hard to know what really, what they want. Like, I don't know what improves Tottenham other than they all just cheer up. And I don't think Antonio Conte running them until they're sick is the person who's going to like get them all happy and smiling and full of the sheer joy of living out on the pitch. But just a real bunch of miseries. And even like, and it says here that they started the season well and are now in poor form. I mean, they just beat Bournemouth and Marseille back to back. I mean, I lust for that kind of poor form. I would love it. But even that, even their attempts at like poor form is like, fine. That's all right.
Well, it's not for where they want to be, though. Losing to, you know, I know you're saying they beat Bournemouth and Marseille back to back, but, you know, yeah. One's not in the Premier League. In the last Premier League games are a defeat to Liverpool, beating Bournemouth, and then defeats against Newcastle and Scum. So,
but also that Marseille result got them through to the knockout stages of the Champions League. And,
it's pointless.
And then they end up just going, oh, yeah, do it. Can't be bothered. Who would they draw? They've got Dortmund, haven't they? I think.
I can't remember.
And that, you know, there's a lot of energy in Dortmund that one as well. So, oh God, shouting at us, yellow wall. And it's all there on Harry Kane's face. He's not an inspiring person, and he's the captain. I think he sort of sets the tone, and he looks like constantly like he just wants to go back to bed. So that's Tottenham.
Excellent. I love that summary, based entirely in fact and research. Yeah. But it does feel like at some point it's just creaking towards Conte getting fired or walking out due to some sort of fallout.
I feel like he's got a walkout in him as Conte. Although, mind you, he'll want the money, won't he? That's the problem. Managers never walk out anymore because they think, I'll just hopefully lose a few more games and I'll get like 9 million quid. It's worth hanging around for, isn't it?
Which you do.
I think I probably would.
I mean, that's what, when you were at ITV, you were just hanging on for redundancy and they wouldn't give you it, would they?
Painful. Absolutely awful. So over the years, so many rounds of it. Why never me?
T-shirt.
Yeah, full Balotelli. Yeah. Why never me?
Why never me? Please get rid of me.
But then I just feel like, because the season started with Spurs and because they did do pretty well, I think they were like unbeaten in the first 7 or 8 games and they were like, oh, title challenge maybe, yeah. Conte, really good manager, been there, won it all in the past, hasn't he? And then they just started losing games and it was like, oh no, very Spurs.
This is the Spurs we recognise.
Very Spurs. I mean, they're still fourth.
Yeah.
But
Spurs are always destined to be fourth to sixth, aren't they, at the minute? It just feels like, no matter, they've got this big spaceship of a stadium in North London that's amazing, brings them loads of revenue, but they just seem destined to be fourth to sixth forever.
I mean, the stadium has entirely elevated them to a different level, hasn't it? Because the Spurs of my youth were kind of a bit worse than Leeds most of the time, is what I seem to remember.
They always had good players, though, didn't they? Lineker and Gascoigne and
Darren Anderton,
Klinsmann and
Sheringham,
Vinny Samways,
Willem Karsten.
Yeah, well, they always had. I hated
David Howells.
Hated Stefan Freund with a passion, but always kind of a few interesting players knocking around and a decent manager, and
always benefited from being in London, I think.
Yeah, because you can drive. You can live in Essex, can't you, and then drive in. Or Hertfordshire, whichever is nicer.
I think Hertfordshire.
But the new stadium should be just like, give them that extra, like, oh, now you can play in London and we'll live in London and come to a nice stadium and we'll pay you lots of money. But they just, I mean, even that, you said they started losing games. They only lost 2 of the first 14. So it's not really been it wasn't a massive slump. They've still only lost 3 more after that. And they're fourth. It's just, I don't know. And they all seem to be, but from this position, they do seem to be wearing all like the labours of the world. Maybe it's because Arsenal are winning the league. that doesn't help them.
No. But to the actual nuts and bolts of this game, and Son is out injured, and he's one player who would really worry me in this game running at our defence, particularly if they start dropping balls in behind our fullbacks, which, you know, spoiler alert, that's how you get in behind us, everyone.
Well, it was the Spurs game last year, wasn't it, where Luke Ayling looked at the bench and did a what the fuck am I supposed to do is really quick face at the bench because Son just kept turning and running in behind. So
he's had surgery to correct an unstable eye socket, I think it was, wasn't it? The injury, which sounds
bad.
Fairly horrific. Anything to do with eyes is not good, is it? And then we didn't have a Kane booking against Liverpool, so he will play. Will he want to put everything into this, though, with the World Cup coming up? You know, captain and all that. Is he going to have one eye on that? I don't know.
Do you remember him at the start of the Euros?
Well, being absolute shit.
Yeah, it was chronic. So I don't know if there's kind of a like a real necessary need for him to be like, oh, I've got to build up my form going into the World Cup and so I can start the group stage with a bang. It will just be same old sort of shuffling, disinterested looking.
And congratulations on your goal as well.
Yeah, he'll score probably. But like,
and this is the thing, right? I know we're kind of just having a bit of fun there, picking apart Spurs and their weariness, but they have got loads of good players. And
Eric Dier is always good for an own goal, though, isn't he?
So and they are fourth in the league, but they can't
and
be...
And their fullbacks can't cross. That's the one thing that might be good for us, the way we set up, because they'll be attacking through Emerson Royal and Sessegnon, isn't it? Every time they go forward, I think that's part of why Harry Kane just has such a disappointing life, is because he's watching those crosses just sail over his head and was out it, for a goal kick.
Was it Emerson Royal who was playing against Liverpool and just kept floating crosses into the stand? And there was quite a lot of murmuring going on.
It's hilarious.
On. Yeah.
It's brilliant. You've got, you know, the best England striker in a generation in the six-yard box, and you've got this sending your right back forward is booting the ball over his head. It's great. It's no wonder they all look so sad.
And you wonder, because they play five at the back or three at the back, whichever way you want to dress it up, does this help us in that they're not hopefully not going to have like loads of overloads out wide?
If they sign James Bree, they could have a Royale with cheese. Mm-hmm. I know you were trying to think of a cheese pun earlier.
Just came
into my mind there.
Thank you.
There you go. You can have that.
Excellent.
Fits in perfectly, doesn't it?
Enjoy that. But yeah, they're fourth. They're good. They've got loads of good players. And yet, you know, you look at the way that we've performed against some sides that are up there. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And that's not me going into this, you know, being blasé or too optimistic. But, you know, if we've shown we can do one thing, it's rattle sides that were closer to the top. So let's give it a whiz, shall we?
And I think the crowd can definitely get annoyed at them. If we can be competitive in the first half, they'll be upset. And we'll have some teams like Leeds discussion in the post game,
which would be good for propaganda.
We should deal with whoscored.com's assessments of them, because we've been a little bit concentrate more on the character rather than the characteristics. So we need to get into the real statistical analysis.
Tactical discussion, Moscow.
Some tactical discussion. So their weaknesses are defending against long shots. So there's an argument there that Sam Greenwood starts. They're weak at stopping opponents from creating chances, which helps because we're quite bad at creating them. They're very weak at avoiding individual errors. So we need Brendan Aaronson tackling Hugo Lloris. And they're very weak at defending against skillful players. So Somerville, Nyonto to start.
Cool.
I mean, there's a genuine question there. I mean, I suppose it'll be influenced by the Wolves game, which is tonight. So we don't know quite what is going to be the team selection there. But I mean, there's an argument to say Nyonto should start because Harrison has not been great. And I know he's changed position, hasn't he, in this system. And it's not particularly worked for him. I can't remember the last time he played well. Well, he's not always been awful.
When he was on his good wing.
When was that? Feels like a long time ago.
Well, we were saying on the other show, it was like as soon as Phil Hayden's article pointing out how good he was going down the left, Marsh has put him on the right and he's been terrible.
Old jinxy.
So it's Phil Hayes' fault.
Yeah. Strengths, they're good at counter-attacks and coming back from losing positions. Mm. So if we go in front...
It's another 4-3, isn't it?
We're going to have to go miles in front. Do what Marsh said and score in a big cluster of like goals. Score once, twice, three times, four times, five.
Their style of play, though, is playing in their own half, which is helpful because we like the gegenpress, don't we? So if they're gegening, we can press them.
Yep.
And then that's how that works. So we don't need to worry about too much pressure on Cooper or Robin Koch at the back.
They seem to be quite good at creating and finishing scoring chances, though, which is...
Because they've got Harry Kane.
Which is basically our kryptonite.
I mean, the goals, Harry Kane, 11, and then everyone else... Well, it's Højbjerg and Son got 3 each, which is pathetic. So...
Fair enough.
They're just relying on Kane, which is why it's a bit of a shame that he didn't pick up that booking.
If there's one man we can get at, Eric Dier.
Mm.
He always looks confused as Eric Dyer, doesn't he? Yeah. He's got an unfortunate face in that regard. He looks baffled by the world.
Yeah, and Lloris as well. We can get Ilan Meslier to give him some Nathan Jones style insults in his own tongue.
Yeah,
because they share it.
Like, I'm coming here to replace you next summer when you leave. That kind of thing.
I'm kind of hoping there's a bit of a full fist fight between Marsh and Conte on the sidelines. I feel like there's potential for it.
Marsh is very zen these days, so he's calmed right down.
Lay out your terms, though, Michael. How's this going to unfold? How's it going to unfold? Who's going to win? Is it going to be shirts off? What?
There'll be
any hair pulling?
It was Conte and Tuchel, wasn't it, with the bizarre handshake earlier in the season. I'm not sure who was the aggressor in it, but it was like a... You let go. No, you let go. How dare you hold my hand?
For the audio listener, we have a recreation there going on.
Yeah, so that was good. But I think Marsh should do that with him, but then nut him.
Mm. Well, you've got to remember
try and get loosen some of his hair.
Do you think Marsh should fight quite dirty?
Yeah, I reckon.
Like pulling armpit hair and stuff.
He'd have some wrestling tricks from the YMCA back in the day, wouldn't he?
As well, yeah. I reckon Marsh has got the flex in his leggings to deliver some high kicks as well, whereas Conte's Italian trousers won't.
His leggings.
They won't allow for that.
Marsh has got, he's straight off to Peru, he's best man at somebody's wedding, isn't he? So he doesn't want to be turning up for that with his face all Charlie Cresswell. So he might have to just let Conte off. I'll let him live this time because I've got a...
Well, rules of engagement could be no face.
Mm. Mm. That's true.
Just neck downwards.
Why don't fourth officials let managers...
Like in ice hockey, just let them have it out for a bit.
Because really, no one actually wants a fight, do they?
No.
They want to appear to want to fight, is what managers do.
Hold me back.
So it'd be great if one time the fourth official went, no, I think you should hit him. See what happens.
I heard what he called you.
He said he'd shit on your prostitute mother or whatever PK said. So knock him out, as far as I'm concerned. And if Mark Jackson wants to knock someone else out.
Oh, Mark Jackson definitely wants to knock somebody out. Maybe that's Sir Marsh's tactic as he unleashes Jacko.
Mm. The old Northern Premier Jacko or whatever division he ended up in.
Cameron Toshack looks quite handy. I'm not sure about Randy Marich.
No, Marich is a bit of
Well, he's a blogger, isn't he? It's like sending me out to fight somebody. It's ridiculous. Whereas if you want to have Big Tosh, he can lead the way and I'll be behind him. We'll hit him. Go on.
Well, the good news about this is that because we beat Bournemouth, we can't finish in the relegation zone for the World Cup.
Woo!
So I think from a mental standpoint, in terms of how everyone feels for this long layoff, because that's the worst thing about, you know, like when the Queen died and the games got postponed and we'd kind of gone into this bad run of form before that and then it extended after. It went on forever, didn't it? It just went on forever without a win. You know, we didn't get a win between August and October.
I mean, pre-Liverpool, I fully expected we would be in the relegation zone come the break. So
to not be.
So to not be is nice. Like you're saying, just to not have to think about it quite as much.
And that's all changed quite quickly because Marsh's best man speech at this wedding would have had to have so many kind of like, you know, it's nice to be here and I might as well stay here because I don't have a job anymore. Like there would have had to be so many kind of self-deprecating kind of references to being sacked, whereas now he can be fully, he can tell everybody about what a great time he's having and pretend it's going well. it's all fine. Oh, don't worry about what you saw in the papers. Like, oh, I sorted that. It's cool. Oh, well done, Jesse. Like, it's fine.
So, should we just go to Spurs and win? Because that would be nicer than anything else. I mean, a draw would see us potentially, depending on what Brentford do at Man City, would see us finish 11th, which would be,
that'd be nice.
The top of the bottom half. So you get something for that, don't you?
I believe so, yeah. Some sort of a shield, I think, for doing that.
It's a plate cup vase, yeah.
It's a weirdly tight league. Apart from when you look at the goal difference, then the bottom four does appear to be sort of cut off, if we're just going to look at that. I know you're like looking at your goals scored, Dan.
I think you have got to use it. There's a guy whose name escapes me who tweeted us this morning. Let me just dig out his name.
I saw this.
Using you remember doing Pythagoras at school, which was about the triangles and all that jazz? Well, it's a statistical method of working out based on the goals that you score and the goals that you concede, roughly where you should finish. It's born out of baseball, but it's been applied to other different sports since then. Exactly how and why it applies to football is not completely clear to me because you've got to use a certain multiplier. It's anyway, all I'll say is looks interesting and it's got us finishing 13th, which is about where we're supposed to be. Yeah.
Take it.
I mean, the one thing to say going into this is it's kind of a bit of a cliche about how hard it is to win.
It was Michael Rogerson, by the way, who is Weird Al's dad on Twitter. Thanks, Michael.
about how difficult it is to win back-to-back games in the Premier League. It's kind of, if you're a bottom half team, that's one of your targets. If we beat Spurs, we would win three in a row. And Spurs, who are fourth, have not managed that in the Premier League this season. They've done back-to-backs twice. And I know we're still only like 15 games, 13, 14. FB ref includes...
You have any new numbers?
It includes the postponed matches.
We've, like, we've played 13. This will bring us up to 14.
Right. They've played 14, so this will bring them up to 15. So, you know, but it's a fair chunk of the season not to be able to win more than two in a row. And that's Spurs, and they're pretty good, millions of pounds worth of players and cheese. So if we manage to go into the break with Liverpool, Bournemouth and Spurs all knocked off one by one, that's a remarkable achievement. And Jesse Marsh, new contract time, everybody's happy and nothing can possibly go wrong from then on. But that's maybe the context in which to put our inevitable defeat, because winning three in a row is really, really hard. So be fine with losing.
Yeah, we never managed it last season, did we? I was just looking, the only times we managed back-to-back wins last season, both bought completely false dawns of thinking we were safe, because West Ham away, do you remember that one?
Yeah, it was good fun, that.
Played well, won. It was like, our table looks all right. And then Wolves away. And that was another one after it. You looked at the table and went, that's huge, we're probably going to be all right now. Yeah. And then there was still that absolutely dreadful collapse and panic at the last minute of the season. So nothing is to be taken for granted, is it?
But apart from beating Spurs.
Apart from beating Spurs, obviously.
Quiz time, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
What percentage of people in the UK don't have an up-to-date will?
Wrong. do you even include kids?
60% is the answer. Do you know why I'm asking this? Yes, it's Levi's.
Okay, right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
What is a will?
It's where your stuff goes, isn't it, when you die.
Yes, indeed. It's a legal document. Sets out what you'd like to happen to your property and belongings when you die. Without one, what happens?
Don't know, actually.
Have you got one?
Nope.
Oh, dear. You get one.
I know, I really should get one.
We're sponsored by Levi's, and you haven't got a will.
They have, in fairness, offered to do one for me.
Right, get that done, please, because your assets will not necessarily go to the people that you would want to inherit them.
They won't go to you, will they?
You can't have them when you're dead.
Okay.
Sadly, no. But they are seriously more important than you realise. For homeowners, parents, if you're in a relationship, not married, civil partnership, vital, vital. Why can making a will help, Michael? What will it help stop?
You getting your grubby mitts on my stuff.
Exactly, and stop families falling out.
Oh, I don't want that.
Do you even speak to yours?
Yeah, of course I do.
And they're nice people.
Yeah,
what happened with you then?
every family's got one, haven't they?
Yeah, will give you peace of mind as well, that your loved ones and your family are going to be looked after when you're gone. And yeah, as Michael says, it makes sure, in different words, that your property goes to the right people. Otherwise, you don't want it going to your estranged wife, do you, Michael?
I don't have one yet.
Yet, being the operative word. Or you might end up not leaving anything to your partner at all.
An option.
It's dead easy to put it off as well. So get it done, get in touch with Levi's. It's not complicated. The team will advise you what best suits your circumstances. They've got offices in Leeds City Centre, Moortown in North Leeds and in Wakefield as well. And if you are a bit further afield, they can do appointments online as well. 10% off as well. That's the most important thing. 10% off your legal fees, including wills, at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Go get it done. Last summer, the good folks at Boxed kept 100 Leeds fans fed and watered for 4 days to give us the energy to complete our 92-mile charity walk. These days, of course, the focus is on conserving energy and minimising waste. And Boxed have been sharing their tips to use your heating system as efficiently as possible to help keep your energy bills down. And upgrading to a new, more efficient boiler and using a Google Nest Learning thermostat could save you up to £1,150 a year. Plus, upgrading your boiler to a brand new A-rated one couldn't be easier with Boxed. You'll get a fixed fair price in just 90 seconds with Boxed. And as a listener to this show, you can save an additional £50 on your online quote by using the code TSB50. And you don't have to walk 92 miles to do it. Just grab your phone, head to boxed.co.uk, that's boxt.co.uk, and use the code TSB50 to upgrade your boiler and save money now. It's time for Heroes and Villains now, then part three of the show. The Ken Bates Villain of the Week award is first. The nominations, going to give you a few to pick from here. Then in the Leeds corner, Leeds United as a concept has been upsetting people. The board, the fans, Jesse Marsh, our defence, Rodrigo. In the opposition corner, Bournemouth as a whole, Kiefer Moore, Tavernier. Have we got a definitive pronunciation on that? Is it Tavernier, Moscow? Is it?
Well, what would people prefer?
Tavernier.
Gary O'Neill, and then pundits Gabby Agbon-Lahore and Paul Merson, plus there's some others as well to bring you there. So who do you want to talk about and why? And we've got a lot of people who've sent in nominations as well, our TSB Plus members. Thank you for your feedback on these. We'll run through the highlights of those. Go for it.
I mean, there was a late surge because I was collating these. There was a definite late surge for Victor Orta in particular on these after his ranting and raving in the West Stand, which we have kind of become accustomed to. And it's one of those things that I've sort of watched it. And I'm not personally offended by it particularly as well. I'm watching it. I'm thinking, like, in a way, I don't really mind it other than it's just completely fucking pointless. It doesn't achieve anything. It makes it more likely that people will shout at him in future. It creates more of a division between the board and the fans. And it doesn't achieve a single thing that he thinks it achieves. It just means people go, he seems like a bit of a fucking aggro bastard. What's up with him?
Don't think he's thinking in those moments, is he? I think it's we know now. You shout at him, he shouts back. I think that's the thing. You had an interesting contrast actually with Kinnear next to him, because Kinnear just kind of sits and takes it and goes and smiles wanly into the distance.
There's Victor.
But if Victor wasn't there and people were just shouting at Angus Kinnear and he was just sitting there and taking it, people would go, what a fucking dickhead, and do, because he does just sit there and take it. But then Victor Orta shouts back and people go, what a fucking dickhead. It's sort of, I don't know, maybe they need to move that themselves back up to the east stand out of everybody's way, because it was quite difficult to get at people like Ken Bates and Massimo Cellino, because the east stand exec suites were just built in a different way and much more difficult for fans to get to, whereas being right in the middle of the west stand means it's quite easy. They can hear everything, which is the other thing, is that the east stand, I think, is less voluble, although Cellino definitely heard those chants that meant he then started charging everybody in the South Stand an extra £5 purely because he hated our fans. I mean, I keep thinking about this sometimes. Victor Orta has become like this sort of lightning rod as a hate figure, and so gets into these situations where people want to, you know, people are tweeting and going on the internet and saying they want to knock his teeth out, essentially for buying a bad left back, seems to be. it's the upper level of his crimes when you base it down to it, and like it's compared to I was thinking about Cellino used to go out around town and be in fibre, and people would have selfies with him because he was a bit of a lad, and it's like, well, he literally hates the fans so much he is charging an extra £5 to get into the stand, but that's all sort of fine. But whereas now we've got into the Premier League and our left back isn't good enough and Rodrigo's a bit shit. And so, you know, there are people yelling at Victor Orta in the street. And there was a thing at Brentford. He referred to it in his statement where he's apologising. Like, because the Brentford one that was the previous one, where again, he's just out of line, where he's like, that's 16 years in the Championship without me. Ah, shut the fuck up. But he had his family with him on that one. And it's kind of like, there is a point of like, I don't know how we got to the point where everybody just wants to you know, literally do violence against Victor Orta when, you know, I would absolutely criticise a lot of the signings he's made and the managerial appointments he's made and the way he goes about things, and you know, I was talking about how I would do the Jean-Kevin Augustin deal if it was offered again tomorrow, but then I think the way we tried to get out of it, I don't understand why we didn't just buy him and then try and get him fit, seems to be, if we're going to pay 80 million in the end. So that, I agree with the original deal, but then how they've handled it, like when it went wrong, just keep the player and like try and get him over it and get him back to being that £40 million player. All sorts of things you can talk to him about. I just don't understand why sort of rearranging his face has to be a
The thing is, football stadiums and the internet, people just say things they wouldn't say in ordinary life. Most people who are saying they'd knock his teeth in and stuff, if they saw him in real life, they'd go, all right, Victor, and he'd go, all right, and that'd be it. They'd be not, because it's not real, is it? None of it's real.
No.
Apart from at Brentford and then to have
You're in a football stadium and you know there's a... Shouting at people is kind of what you do in a football stadium, so the context of it is all different, and you know that realistically you're shouting at him from probably five rows of seats away or whatever.
And I guess it is then, but it's the shock of like he shouted back.
Yeah,
it's like, is that unfair? Can he not shout back?
I was going to say before that Lee Into Cheese has sort of summed it up by saying that he didn't like it because he somehow made the great comeback about him, and it goes back to what you were saying about the whole, you know, 16 years without me and stuff like that. I think, which, you know, he's entitled to feel a bit put out when people are shouting him, probably because he wants to defend his own position. But it's like you say, Mike, ultimately it boils down to the fact it's not really very, very helpful. And Hilton Crowther, do you remember Hilton Crowther, Moscow?
Yes. Yeah, not, good to see he's still going strong.
Might not be the original one, but he says, Victor Orta, getting a bit tired of the Orta Radrozani Kinnear attitude that the fans are too stupid to appreciate the big picture and the caviar football we are being served up.
It is. I can remember thinking this before we got promoted, because Radrozani's touchiness as well always seemed misplaced.
He's so thin-skinned, isn't he?
And he needed to bear in mind, and I think this is part of what the trouble is, and it is a bit unfair, but it's just the way it is. They got us promoted out of the Championship after 16 years. Nobody else could do it. And you would think the reward for that would be freedom of the city or something. It's not. You get a grudging thanks in July 2020.
It's like, what's next?
And then,
the basic thing.
And then all the credit goes to Bielsa, because we all loved him more than we love Radrizzani, and that's just the fact that he has to deal with that. And then you will just get immediately back to being criticised for everything you do. And that's just the nature of it. And you've got to deal with it better than Victor Orta deals with it. And you've got to deal with it better than Radrizzani deals with it, with the constant, well, not constant, but the tweeting. Like, it was when he piped up after the Liverpool game. Oh, you see, we weren't, you know, it's one match. And it is kind of like, Hilton is correct. It's like this kind of clapping back at the fans as if they're making a point to us, isn't really the game. You arguably just have to take it. And although I can understand why Victor Orta would not want to, and that's why I'm kind of like, if he shouts sack the board, I mean, it's not the worst thing anybody shouted in that stadium that afternoon.
No.
Or any afternoon by a long short. And it's
shit on your prostitute mother is what you should say to fans who are criticising him.
But it goes back to the insulting people in Spanish, doesn't it?
Again? Exactly.
Yeah. Just I sort of understand his impulse to do it, and then sort of, it's maybe a bit of like self-policing, is I don't want to be the kind of person who yells at somebody because they've signed the wrong left back. It's all kind of like a, you know, the world probably in general, and football in particular, would benefit from a lot of people just taking so much of the steam out of so much inconsequential bollocks.
But it is consequential in that you invest so much of your emotional well-being in it that people, I think, feel entitled to vent. But so does Orta as well.
But yeah, you can't invest your entire emotional well-being.
Why in not?
The quality of a left back. Because well,
are you saying that's not healthy?
Especially at Leeds United, because since Mick Whitlow, we haven't had a good one. Left backs, Tony DiRigo also, I suppose he can have some grudge. Even Ian Hart let us down when we realised he was slow. So it's kind of, you can't build your world around left backs. And it is that kind of, there is an increased, this is sort of general thing in football, of like nothing, absolutely nothing can let you down. And if it does, it's a disaster. And I don't know, I don't think it's a good way of following the game, is kind of expecting everything to be exactly as you want it, and then getting angry about things one by one that are not exactly as you wish them to be.
So you're saying buy a striker, buy a left back, or else good. what I will say is about the ownership, just to type this thought, is that what you'll find is that it'll be held in better regard, assuming we stay up this season and he sells up in the summer. People will look back on his tenure from start to finish in another 5 or 10 years' time and say, we went from X to Y, and overall it was good. Direction of travel was right, but everyone gets focused in on
it's like
issues
at
right
the
now.
Point at which Leslie Silva died, everyone was full of praise, saying what a great chairman he'd been, and Bill Fotherby as well. When he passed away, people were saying again, "Oh, he did some great stuff." At the time, I remember people, what was the graffiti, Fotherby, yeah, crook liar or something,
liar, isn't it? Crook thief, wasn't
something
it?
Like that? Yeah, I remember that being there, and they
on the motorway underpass. They got
loads of shit. Yeah. So it's overall they've taken us to a. Obviously a far better place, but I suppose it's sometimes not expecting people to be constantly grateful for that.
Yeah, and it goes back to the idea of forming your view using hindsight properly rather than being caught up in panicky moments, yeah, like an existential crisis week after week.
They all need to remember they'll get their thanks when they're done.
Yeah.
It won't happen now. And Liverpool are probably a good example as well, where, you know, FSG won the Champions League and are still not good enough.
Yeah, like,
so expecting Leeds fans to be happy and delighted that we're 12th and that the left back's fucking chronic and that we've, you know, wasted 30 million on Rodrigo's never, although top scorer or whatever. He's like, he's
scored all those goals, but he's still shit.
He's our Harry Kane, scores a lot of goals, but just looks miserable. And then all the Augustine stuff, like, it's very present and people will get caught up on that, just as they get caught up on Liverpool are somehow under delivering by winning the Champions League.
So they've won the Champions League. They've rebuilt the stadium.
They won the Premier League for the first time in 30 however many years, and the fans were
not good enough.
Still, it's not good enough. So expecting us to be happy, it won't happen, and you need to just chill.
Well, let's wrap up the other ones, because that does segue neatly into our fans. And Danny Mills, don't think it's probably the original one, but says, our fans have been grumpy, complaining sods after winning. We came back from 3-1 down. Who cares? Mm. And then Matt wants to nominate himself and the early leavers. This is unbelievable what Matt's done here. I can't believe, why would you choose this moment? Like, so I mentioned that my dad left at 3-1 down because Leeds United fundamentally has broken him over a number of decades now. And I don't think he enjoys it at all anymore. However, Matt says, he said, myself for exiting the ground when we gave away the free kick, which we then subsequently went and scored the fourth from. Also, I could get a bit of a head start on the traffic. What a knobhead. I'll never forgive myself.
There's still 10 minutes left at that point with the injury time. Yeah, you are a knobhead, Matt. I'm sorry. I don't know what you were thinking.
Love you to bits, Matt, but dear me. Jesse gets some nominations. Our defence gets nominations. Rodrigo gets nominations for being sulky. Anything you want to pull out of those, or should we give the award?
Rachel mentions that Jesse's jeans, dear God, please stop with those stonewashed jeggings. You're in your 50s.
He's not.
Hon.
He's just turned 49.
Yeah, so
he's clinging on to his youth.
Factual connection, Rachel, you need to review that. He's got one more year of the jeggings.
One more year.
And then we'll come back.
And I mean, given how tight they are, the crotch will probably wear through in that time anyway. The thigh rub. We'll see to them.
That's funny because these jeans I'm wearing have gone through at the crotch.
No, and they're similar fit to those Jesse ones.
They're not similar fit. There's more giving these.
They're very forgiving. Yeah, Rodrigo has some for sulking, which, yeah, fair enough. On to the Bournemouth stuff.
God, we haven't done it. I haven't scanned the page down.
Amazingly, two people who are TSB Plus subscribers have played football against Kiefer Moore.
It's almost like he's an absolute donkey, isn't it?
Should we hear from someone?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do that. Bournemouth as a whole got nominated, just before I play that clip, by Philip for just Kiefer Moore, character, ref, character, learner, character, the character, delighted they lost, bunch of seaside whinging, low rent, small capacity, home ground, waste of time, character. Let's hear about Kiefer Moore.
All right, guys, what a fucking win that was. Just got a... say their striker, Kiefer Moore. I went to school with him and also used to play in the same seven-a-side league, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, something like that. And it was my last game in the seven-a-side league, as 5 minutes into it, he had a shot and I heroically saved it in goal. However, my wrist shattered around the ball. And yeah, it was nice to see Cooper elbowing that prick right in the fucking neck today.
Like, you see, he could have been a pro. He's ruined his pro chances there now.
And I don't know about Lars, but he also played against him. He said he loved it when Cooper smashed him right after 3-3. He said he played against him in 2015 at level 4 in Norway. And he played centre back there. He scored two goals.
The character scored two goals.
Kiefer Moore, and they lost 5-1, but revenge is sweet. So, and he also points out that, which I didn't know, his full name is Kiefer Roberto Francisco Moore. That's good, isn't it?
Mm.
Exotic.
Eligible to play internationally for Wales and China.
Really?
Apparently so.
Wow. How China?
Ancestral affiliations.
Well, there you go.
I hope you haven't made that up.
It's on Wikipedia.
That's true.
Yeah. Gabby Agbonlahor gets nominated for his pathetic low-rent trolling with TalkSport. And I do like the thing that Weedy says. He constantly has that confused look of a dog that's just farted itself awake. That's very true. Paul Merson, for this.
They've never beaten a league team. And they have an opportunity to...
What a goal!
In a moment.
What a goal!
Something's happened at Ellen Road. Bournemouth.
What a goal by Leeds United! That is deja vu at Bournemouth. They counter-attack from a corner. It's an unbelievable header by whoever heads it out. I don't know who it was. Instead of just clearing, he knocks it down to... Tonto runs the length of the pitch with the ball, and Adams is running beside him, and he flicks Adams in, and Somerville one-on-one with a keeper. What a finish, what a goal, what a game. 4-3. Wow.
Tonto. just learn his name.
I was watching.
I mean, I struggled with it at the start, because like, I had Hello Moto in my head, but I quickly learned his name, got past that. And I'm just doing a stupid podcast. I'm not on Sky Sports.
It's easier if you just call him Wilf. I was watching England versus Brazil from the 1970 World Cup, because that's what I do. And Terry Cooper of Leeds United was playing left wing back, changing the game forever. And Hugh Johns, I think it's Hugh Johns, was the commentator, kept calling him Tommy Cooper.
That's near enough.
Yeah, it's close.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a bit distracting.
Just learn his name. If I can do it, Paul Merson can do it.
I looked up Tonto. I was aware it was a Lone Ranger thing. I thought it was the horse, Tonto. No. Clearly not.
No, it's his mate, wasn't it?
It's his mate.
Yeah.
Silver the horse.
Yeah. I should say all of this with old Tavernier.
Hi-ho, Silver away. And finally, Liz Frank gets a nomination by Boney M. Whoever this Liz Frank person is, she's gone and broken sinister as foot. Very good. Villain of the week?
Victor. I know we've stuck up for him a little bit there, but...
I mean, you've got quite length about why he's been justified and he's your hero and all that, but...
He should shut the fuck up, though, shouldn't he?
Fine.
That's the thing, just doesn't achieve anything. Shut up. People are more likely to pick on you if you respond. Like your mum would have said to you, Victor, don't rise to it. That's what they want. That's what people are looking for.
Mm. Right. On to the Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week Award, and our Player of the Year tracker has taken an interesting turn because Nonto.
Go on, Wolf.
Now has the highest score on the Player of the Year tracker, but he's only played two games, so we're not going to count him yet.
Mm.
It seems a bit unfair when he's not even chalked up 90 minutes.
We'll set the parameters of this as we go on and we get towards the end of the season.
Because if he gets injured now, we can't have him Player of the Year after two performances.
Do what we want, though, can't we?
We can do what we want.
We can, that's true.
Tyler Adams now at the top, 7.06, with Melier 7.01 and Brendan Aaronson just behind that, 6.97. So it's still those three jostling for the...
Big Sexy Pirate in fourth. Very consistent performer.
Mm.
So the candidates for this week's Hero of the Week Award, it's all very tight between Somerville, Greenwood and Nonto. Leeds other ones, Bamford, Cooper, Adams, Marsh and the fans. Non-Leeds, caught for arbitration for sport.
Cast villains, I would say.
Right. I've done a Ron Burgundy there, just read the script, haven't I?
Yeah, unless it's...
It's a script that you've written badly.
Could be Castleford the Town. Right. I don't think it's done anything wrong.
So the court for arbitration for sport should have been in the...
Or Castleford, yeah. Our heroes.
Or maybe that's where we should have... Maybe that's who we... Why we fought it for so long. It's like, this ends up getting decided by somebody in Cass.
Anyway.
So we'll be all right. They won't make us pay.
Back to Greenwood.
But yes, having put this together, Greenwood got a huge amount of nominations, as did Somerville and Nonto. It was basically... them. Nonto actually got the most. I did count him up. So he did just about edge it. But I think maybe Greenwood, because we've had him a bit, maybe not as appreciated. Nonto's the new thing, isn't it? So everyone's like,
yeah, new shiny toy.
And he's adorable too.
I've just read TJ's description of him as Big Little Willy, the chubby funster with the golden smile and a brain full of Latin.
There you go.
That's excellent.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about Nonto this week that I think has just captured everyone, from his little dancing thing that he's done with Somerville, the fact that Jesse seems to love what a good boy he is, and yeah, that he seems to be, he's like sort of Jimmy's studious mate, isn't he? Who's going to get him on the straight and narrow as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Jesse, I listened to your press conference. Fascinating things you were saying. Can't remember the details.
Yeah. Goes into the dressing room. Did you watch my press conference there, Willie?
Yeah.
Oh yes, boss. Yes, of course I did.
And that's where he needs to get Somerville on the straight and narrow. Is Cree, lie
to your boss.
Just lie to him. Just pretend.
If he said what they was talking about, just say spirit and that.
Yeah,
togetherness.
I said it was quite difficult to understand everything because it's not my native tongue. Mm. Obviously, like
that's what Michael used to do at ITV.
Some of the idioms. He's got braces as well as Wolf Nonto, which is quite a nice little detail. It's like when we found out that Matt Click wears glasses.
Mm.
I think he should wear them on the pitch before he leaves us.
So the Player of the Year scores, it was Greenwood 8.55, Willie 8.62, Somerville 8.3. So they were all right in there in the mix. Other Leeds ones, Bamford, because it gave Willie a chance.
Oh, bless him.
Being built of toffee, says Luke. Cooper gets a nomination. Adams gets a nomination. Marsh gets a nomination. And the fans as well.
I think
particularly Dave from Dallas saying that the home fans singing, "We are the champions of Europe," when we were 3-1 down, and so on and so forth.
I'm tempted to give it to Greenwood because I think it was mentioned in some of the feedback, but he didn't celebrate that goal, did he? Because it was, at the time, it meant nothing. And he quite rightly.
He deserved to, though, didn't he?
He did, because it was a really brilliant goal. But I was thought back to when Anthony Elding scored for Leeds. It was his first goal for us, and I think we were 2-0 down at that point, and he scored to make it 2-1 in front of the cop.
Oh, it was his big moment, wasn't it?
And he went off fucking celebrating, and everyone was going, "Get the fucking ball!" Just get the fucking ball and get back to halfway. Whereas Greenwood quite rightly went, "Yep, someone else get it, because I'm too far away because I've scored from right far out. And, good that, won't it? But let's just get back to, let's get back halfway and go get another one.
Wilf celebrated that goal more than Sam did. He was giving it big licks in front of the cop. So kind of, is that the kind of colleague that we want? Somebody who's going to steal your moment of glory like that? That's not cool from Willie.
He was just enjoying it though.
Yeah, I think so. So, but yeah, so Sam Greenwood, and also, it's a great goal.
It is, yeah.
It's a really, really good goal. And to turn, because he's always been noted for like his dead ball ability, and that's his thing, that's great from free kicks, to turn a moving ball situation into a dead ball situation the way he did is great. So well done.
So is he having it then? Is it Greenwood?
I mean, oh,
it's hard to look past.
Yes.
And we've barely even spoken about Somerville either, have we?
Jane says his feet are made of pixie dust. You're not going to deny somebody like that their hero status. Irish and Confused points out that nobody else should ever take a set piece again but him. Somebody mentioned he's able to take corners without somebody holding his hand. which
that is a good point. We have spent weeks watching Aronson and Jackie doing all this fucking about and then getting it headed out of the near post and just having someone on who can just put it right in the box.
Yeah, look for where our really good header of the ball is and
put it there.
Yeah, put a big cross onto his head.
But then everyone will know you're going to hit a good corner every time and then it becomes predictable, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that's where you got movement. So, like, get Cooper to move.
Imagine if it was a good corner every time. It'd be too predictable. It's better that mainly we fuck him up.
It does feel to me like, you know, as a relative veteran now these days of watching Leeds, that we've been hitting crap corners to the near post for a good 35 years. Mm. Which, you know, for as long as I can remember.
It was Misbehaving when Bathing who pointed out that he's able to do this without a teacher.
Right then, who is it? Go on then, who is having it?
Sam Greenwood.
Yeah.
Greenwood. I think we'll be nominating. Nonto's going to win this again, isn't he? Because he's obviously going to be the Premier League top scorer.
Unlikely hero then, the unlikely hero of the trio.
Give him, yeah, a little underdog nomination. And there's, you know, and we haven't spoken, he's from Sunderland, there's not a lot of good there.
I mean, he got out, so that's exactly praiseworthy. So. Somerville, yeah, he didn't really get much of a mention there. Because he's done 3-3, it's almost too obvious. I think we're looking for the underdog here.
Yeah, and it somehow ended up the story was more about Willie's run, wasn't it? I felt in this game. That's what I see. Everyone, and I think the fact Willie did is he's falling over in Somerville's celebration as well. Stole the limelight a bit because everyone was like, look, oh, there he goes, falling over. It's funny. Yeah, I
mean, Somerville had his hot minute at the start, but then he disappeared for most of the first half as well. Whereas Wilf had, like, his half was a really impressive performance overall. I think he did play better.
He's really good, overall. Isn't he?
Yeah.
It's surprising.
Can we give it to all three of them?
I mean, maybe.
No, just give it to Sam Greenwood. Why do you keep labouring this point?
No, we can say before we can do what we want.
We just give it to Sam.
We have possibly not given Nonto enough credit for actually just playing really well because I feel like it's been caught up in all the fun bits he did. But
he was saying on the match ball though that everybody's got like a different thing that they appreciate about how he played. So there is a lot of love for the different things he did.
I think
the
maybe
match.
The experience is key with him because he's actually played a reasonable amount of first team football, hasn't he? More so than the likes of Greenwood and Somerville at this point, so yeah. I guess just keep playing them.
All right, fine.
Win the league in that.
Well done, it's Sam Greenwood, your hero of the week. That wraps up the show for this time. We'll be back into the 300s, 301 next week, and we've got a Wolves match ball that will be out now already. Before this show, we're going to go back in time. Enjoy it. We'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.